You have to understand how things are up here.
Hey guys, just wanted to make a special announcement quick. You guys might be wondering why there's a What Is It episode coming out on Wednesdays for the next couple weeks, and that's just because I didn't have time to make full-length episodes in the midst of my full-time job and preparation for my trips to Nashville and Iceland and all that kind of stuff. So you're going to be getting 3 What Is It episodes for the next 2 weeks in a row. Instead of 2 What Is It episodes and a full length. So, hope you guys understand. Thanks. And don't forget to Google the 21CD podcast and follow us everywhere. And to check out 21CDstudios.com for updates, merch, and links to our other places. Now let's get into it. Today we're going to be talking about the giants. These Nephilim. These massive men of old, they were unlike anything that had been seen on Earth before. They towered over humans back in the ancient times, and they possessed incredible strength and knowledge passed down from their divine ancestry. In some traditions, they are described as standing anywhere from 9 to 36 feet tall, their immense size reflecting their mixed celestial and earthly heritage. Some believed these giants were benevolent at first, sharing knowledge of the stars, agriculture, and sacred mysteries with early humans. But over time, these giants, the Nephilim, they became corrupted and began to dominate and terrorize the human population. In the Bible, this is hinted at in the stories of the flood, where the wickedness of mankind, and particularly the corruption of the Nephilim, leads to God deciding to cleanse the earth with a flood. The Nephilim's presence is also said to be part of the reason for the flood, to wash away these unholy beings and restore balance to the world. According to some, the Anunnaki played a direct role in the creation of the giants. By mingling their divine essence with humanity, they created these hybrid beings as an experiment, a way to bridge the gap between gods and men. In some ancient texts, it's said that the Anunnaki not only created the Nephilim, the giants, but also left behind massive monuments, structures like the pyramids, Stonehenge, and other megalithic sites, which the giants helped build with their extraordinary strength. If you believe in the ancient stories of the Anunnaki and the Nephilim, giants were more than just myth. They were real beings, descendants of ancient powerful gods or fallen angels who once walked the earth, and might still. These beings were the offspring of divine and human unions. Their existence has been written about in ancient texts and whispered throughout history. The Anunnaki, in case you were wondering, are beings from Sumerian mythology. They were godlike, and they came to Earth from the heavens, some say from the planet Nibiru. They were said to have created humans as a labor force, manipulating our DNA to form a hybrid race. But the Anunnaki weren't alone in shaping early humanity. Some of them, particularly the fallen or rogue Anunnaki, descended to Earth and began interacting with humans on a much deeper level. In the Book of Enoch, a biblical text that was excluded from the official Bible canon, we find the story of the Nephilim, and they are described as the offspring of the Watchers, a group of angels who were supposed to watch over humanity, but instead lusted after human women. The Watchers descended to Earth, mated with these women, and their children became the Nephilim, giants, powerful, and often terrifying. But the Nephilim's existence wasn't destined to last. Some say that the wars of the gods and giants shook the earth. The Anunnaki, displeased with the chaos their creation had wrought, abandoned the giants, and the giants, in their pride, turned on humanity, and great wars broke out. legends of the Titans in Greek mythology, the Rakshasas of Hindu lore, and the Jotnar of Norse myth all mirror the ancient battle between giants and gods. The Nephilim, the giants, were eventually wiped out, or so many believe. However, stories persist that some survived the flood, going into hiding in remote parts of the world. Some speculate that giant skeletons unearthed in places like North America or the Middle East and South America are remnants of these once great beings. Others claim that the giants are still with us, hidden in the far reaches of the earth or beneath the ground, awaiting a time when they will rise again. Some believe traces of their DNA still exist in humans, particularly in those with extraordinary abilities, strength, or stature. Giants may have been wiped from the earth, but their bloodline could remain, subtly influencing humanity throughout the ages. In this view, the giants were not mere myth, but a product of divine manipulation, a fusion of celestial power and human frailty. The ancient stories of the Anunnaki and the giants suggest that our history is far older and far stranger than we've been led to believe. The giants were a powerful, feared race, and their legacy still haunts the edges of our collective memory. Why is that? As the giants grew more corrupt, according to some legends and lore, they began to dominate and terrorize the human population. Stories from ancient Mesopotamian, Greek, and biblical traditions describe how these beings, once mighty and awe-inspiring, became tyrants and were often subjected to genocides. The Nephilim, having divine blood, could not easily be defeated by ordinary human means. Their downfall required the intervention of higher powers. In the Bible, the corruption of the giants is directly tied to the wickedness of humanity that prompted the great flood. In the book of Genesis, it's said that the sons of God, interpreted as the watchers or fallen angels, intermingled with the daughters of men, and their offspring, the Nephilim, became these mighty men of renown. However, their increasing wickedness and violence led God to declare a judgment upon the earth. The flood, in this view, was not only meant to wipe out the sinful humans, but also to eradicate the giants. The Book of Enoch goes into greater detail, describing how the archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, and others were sent to bind the fallen watchers and cleanse the earth of their offspring. This divine intervention, rather than human effort, is often cited as the primary means by which the giants were destroyed. But the story doesn't end there. According to some interpretations, not all giants perished in the flood. Certain biblical accounts suggest that a remnant of the Nephilim survived, or that more giants arose after the waters receded. And this is seen in the story of the Canaanites, where tribes of giants are mentioned, such as the Anakim, the Rephaim, and the Zamzumim. In these post-flood accounts, humans seem to go to war with the giants. The Old Testament contains stories of the Israelites encountering and battling giants as they entered the Promised Land, with God telling them to spare none. One of the most famous tales is that of David and Goliath, where David, a young shepherd, slays the Philistine giant Goliath with a stone from his sling. Goliath, according to some, is one of these Nephilim, and according to others, is not. Other biblical stories mention Moses and Joshua fighting giant clans during the conquest of Canaan. And in these accounts, humans, now empowered by their covenant with God, were able to defeat the giants, though the battles were often very fierce and deadly. If we head over to Greek mythology, we see the Gigantomachy, and it tells the story of the Olympian gods waging war against the Titans and the giants. It's another parallel to the idea of divine intervention. And while humans were not directly involved in these battles, the outcome of the war had a profound impact on humanity, as the Olympians became the ruling gods, ensuring a certain order over the earth. Similarly, in Norse mythology, the Jotnar, or the giants, were often in conflict with the gods of Asgard, with humans sometimes getting caught in the crossfire. And in these myths, too, giants are portrayed as ancient beings of immense power, often extremely hostile to both gods and humans. In many traditions, humans did eventually play a role in wiping out the last remnants of the giants. After divine forces weakened the giants through floods, curses, or wars, human heroes did emerge and managed to finish the job. The David and Goliath story is perhaps the most iconic example of how humans, though seemingly weaker, could use wit, faith, and determination to overcome these towering figures. Now, it's also possible that ancient humans, once freed from the rule of the giants, hunted down the last of them, as some legends suggest. Stories from cultures around the world, Native American legends especially, there's also Norse sagas and even tales from Africa that describe these human warriors slaying the final few giants as they retreated into the mountains and the caves. Some believers in these stories suggest that giants were never fully exterminated. Instead, they just went into hiding in remote or subterranean areas. And there are modern conspiracy theories that claim evidence of giant skeletons has been suppressed or that giants still exist in hidden parts of the world. Throughout the 1800s and the early 1900s, numerous accounts of giant bones were reported in newspapers and journals. And these reports often came from amateur archaeologists, farmers, and settlers who stumbled upon large skeletal remains while digging or exploring ancient burial mounds. Some of the most notable claims include the Serpent Mound in Ohio. In the late 19th century, explorers investigating the Serpent Mound, which is this ancient American earthwork in Ohio, reportedly discovered the skeletal remains of individuals who stood well over 9 feet tall. And these bones were found inside burial mounds, suggesting that these giants were part of an ancient, sophisticated culture. But mainstream archaeologists, of course, dismissed these reports. Perhaps one of the most famous stories that almost everybody has heard is the story of Lovelock Cave, where miners allegedly found the remains of red-haired giants. And these skeletal remains were said to be over 8 feet tall, with some reports claiming the bones belonging to an ancient race of giants, known to these local natives as the Site Ka. And according to Paiute legend, the Site Ka were a hostile tribe of red-haired giants who lived in the region and terrorized them before being driven into the cave and then exterminated with fire. While some bones were found in the cave, of course, there are still tons of skeptics, and most people dismiss this story entirely. We can't forget the Cahokia Mounds either. In the Mississippi River Valley in Illinois near present-day St. Louis, we have the Cahokia Mounds, and they're a set of ancient earthworks that once formed the center of a massive pre-Columbian empire that we're not really allowed to hear too much about. And over the years, reports surfaced of large skeletons being unearthed in the area, with some claims that skeletons over 7 feet tall have been discovered. If we come to my neck of the woods in Wisconsin, there was an excavation near Beaver Lake allegedly uncovering skeletons of a race of giants, with one report describing bones of individuals being 9 to 10 feet tall. And these giants were buried in a sitting position with elaborate tools and pottery. Native American cultures across North America have many legends of giants, often describing them as ancient enemies or gods. For example, the Comanche, Choctaw, and Cherokee, they all have stories of these giant beings who once roamed the earth. Some tribes describe these giants as powerful beings who were eventually driven out or destroyed by divine intervention or war. One of the most persistent conspiracy theories surrounding giants and how they disappeared is where their bones went, especially the bones in North America. And oh yeah, it involves the Smithsonian Institution. Some researchers and alternative historians claim that the Smithsonian was responsible for covering up or confiscating evidence of giant skeletons in order to suppress knowledge of these beings. In the late 19th century, the Smithsonian did send archaeologists to investigate Native American mounds and other ancient burial sites across the U.S., and many skeletons were unearthed. But somehow, the claims of giants were never really verified. And before too long, the Smithsonian was just paying farmers to basically destroy every mound they see and to sell off or melt down all the relics that were found. You've got to really wonder what was going on there. This alleged suppression, if you want to call it that, of evidence has become a key piece in the whole giant conspiracy theory that we're examining today. Today, of course, most mainstream archaeologists and scientists regard all these stories of giant skeletons as nothing but myth and fable. They argue that many of the reports were exaggerated, misunderstood, or just simply hoaxes altogether. Bones of normal-sized humans that had been damaged or deformed over time could have been misidentified, they say, and the height of these so-called giants could have been exaggerated by reporters or local storytellers. And yes, there are prophecies and myths, by the way, in various cultures and belief systems that suggest that giants, these Nephilim, these titans, depending on what you believe, will return one day. These prophecies are usually tied to apocalyptic or end-time scenarios, of course, where the giant's reappearance is connected to cosmic upheaval, divine judgment, or even the collapse of human civilization. In some interpretations, in Christian beliefs, there are hints that the Nephilim, the ancient race of these giants, may return during the end times. And while the Bible doesn't directly prophesy the return of the Nephilim, there are references to a resurgence of evil and chaos that some theorists believe could involve giants. Matthew 24:37 states, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." In the time of Noah, the Nephilim were present on earth, wreaking havoc and contributing to the wickedness that led to the great flood. And of course, some interpret this verse to mean that similar conditions, including the presence of giants or Nephilim-like beings, could return before the second coming of Christ. In Numbers 13:33, the Israelites speak of seeing the Anakim, who are descendants of the Nephilim, in the Promised Land, and they describe them as giants. Some fringe interpretations suggest that the Nephilim descendants were just not entirely destroyed, and they might play a role in the prophetic events of the end times. So what do you guys think? You think there's any stock in the idea of giants? Have you guys found any giant bones in your backyard and that you've been keeping secret in your basement? And do you think they're going to come back at the end of days? Let me know in the comments. Thanks for tuning in, and remember, don't drink the water and question everything.